Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, saluting Earth Day on April 22nd with an ongoing commitment to help offset carbon emissions with sustainable harvesting of Missouri forests. Details at choosewood.com.
Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Our guest this segment has gone from helping people learn to making people laugh. Humorist Beverly Brennan was the director of speech and theater at Harris Stowe State University for the past 22 years and also worked at the St. Louis Public Schools for 20 years. Her ease before audiences may come from the fact that her father is Jack Buck, the legendary Cardinals broadcaster. Singer-storyteller Brennan's bringing a show called Love and Marriage to the Kranzberg Arts Center this Friday. The show is described as an inside look at long-term relationships, the good, the bad, and the outrageously funny. Beverly Brennan joins me in studio. So nice to see you again.
Nice to see you too, Don.
So what makes you an expert on love and marriage?
Well, in November, Mike and I will be married 48 years.
Okay. I concede the point then.
But if my audience claps, I'm going to say, please don't clap. It's not November yet.
Oh, no, right.
We take it one day at a time.
Tell us a little bit about what you're going to be doing with the whole love and marriage theme.
Well, Rick Jensen is my piano man and music director, and he's absolutely phenomenal. He's a composer, he's a singer, he's a pianist, and he's just amazing. He has some songs with me. He's doing a solo in my show, and he comes in at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Cabaret, by definition, is usually one singer, a baby grand, and a piano player. Yeah. And that's basically what I'm doing Friday night at the Kranzberg. It will be stories and jokes and songs.
What kinds of stories? Are they personal stories or just material you've picked up along the way?
There is a little material in there, but I mostly relate that material to my personal life. Okay. Cabaret, also by definition, is about getting to know the performer personally. It's not like you're in a musical or you're playing a character. You're just you up there, which I had to learn about.
And were the lessons tough lessons?
They were. I came from a musical theater background. I did the Muni. I was an alto. I was a belter. That doesn't fly in cabaret. I had to really pull back and just not be as energetic as I usually am and try to mellow out and be really in a conversation with the audience.
Let's go back to Rick Jensen for just a moment his role. He's going to be an accompanist. Is that correct? Is he going to sing with you?
He's going to sing with me on some songs. For example, there's a parody of Ah, Yes, I Remember It Well. Rick plays my husband Mike because Mike can't carry a tune. Right. And there's an original song in the show. It's called Fall Back in Love. And then Rick is doing a song, another original song. He's doing a solo called In Passing Years.
Oh, I think we have that. Let's listen to a little bit of Rick Jensen singing In Passing Years.
In passing years, it all looks the same, and just the name will change. We all will love too many times, but just the friends remain. And so these things I'll say to you over tea for two on a wasted day, when two friends meet and share, I hope it's you that still care. In passing years, we'll speak of truth and things we've learned since youth.
Very, very touching. Very touching.
Rick is very gifted, very kind, and very funny.
How did you find him, or did he find you?
Well, about 10 years ago, we've known each other 10 years, I started taking classes in cabaret. I started thinking, what was I going to do when I retired from teaching? And I'm a little hyper, and I thought, I need something to do. So back in the day, I had worked with Theater Project Company. I had done the Muni. I had done some commercial work. and I thought I would return to my roots performing. Mm-hmm. So Rick was a teacher who came with the cabaret mm-hmm. conference run by Tim Schall. And Lena Katrakos, one of my directors, also was teaching, and I signed up for that conference, and it just changed my life. I loved it.
I see that Ken Haller is part of a part of your production team, if you will, too. He's a friend of ours. He's on this program, pediatrician, on our program a lot.
Ken is great. And, you know, Lena was back in New York, and so I had two directors for this piece, Lena and then Ken, here in person.
And he does a little cabaret work himself from time to time.
He does. Hey, for a doctor, he's a darn good singer.
He really is. Let's talk a little bit more about the whole love and marriage thing. Give me some sense of the kinds of things that you get into. I mean, we all know what marriage is. Those of us have been married. You know, you talk about there are good times and there are bad times. Do you have marital advice, that sort of thing?
You know, I'm not so conceited as to think I can actually offer advice. I was going to call the show Long-Term Love and Marriage because mm-hmm. that's really what it's about. But it sounded like a prison sentence or possibly an illness. So some of the things I deal with is how and why people wind up together often when they are polar opposites. Mm-hmm. It does make for some humor, but it is the case with me and my husband, mm-hmm. Mike. And so it's that how you negotiate relationships when there are so many differences. Mm-hmm. And it's also, as you said, about the good times and about the bad times and how you find the strength and the will to make it through those bad times.
But they do say opposites attract, though. I mean, that's what they have always said.
Attraction wasn't our problem. It was that we got married and we actually never discussed politics or religion or finances, mm-hmm. nor having children. We just sort of negotiated all of that along the way.
Mm-hmm. Communication being a key element of any relationship,
well,
right?
We had a certain way of communicating when we first met, mm-hmm. but
we'll
it didn't include a lot of talking. So after 10 years of marriage and we had not discussed children, my biological clock was ticking. Mm-hmm. And I just said to Mike one day, I'll be getting pregnant next month. Would you like to be the father? Mm-hmm. And he said, well, that's something we can talk about. Huh. And I said, we just did. Mm-hmm. And we had our first son, Micah, 9 months later.
How does he feel about what you're doing right now with this kind of a show, this show specifically?
This is the third show I've done with Rick, and Mike is very supportive. He was a little bit nervous about airing dirty laundry in public. Yeah. Plus, he's a very private person. And of course, I'll tell my life story to anyone on the street. Mm-hmm. So he felt a little bit concerned or guarded. But I think he's okay with everything. I'm not, you know, he doesn't get thrown under a bus or anything like that. Mm-hmm. No.
Is there anything you could do for us here that will be in the show that kind of give us a taste of what we can expect from Beverly Brennan?
Well, there's a brief little story about when we first bought our house in Compton Heights, and we're still in that house. My husband, who's very organized, he made what I would call a hit list for the house. And it included, we need a new furnace, and we need to paint the exterior, et cetera, et cetera. And he said, Bev, study the hit list and tell me what your priority is so we can get to working on the house. Well, I was 25. I looked at the hit list, and I said to Mike, I want an in-ground pool. And Mike was like, but we need a furnace. And I said, but I'm not even cold. And he said, well, it's August, but November's coming, and we need a furnace. So I must have been pretty cute back in the day because he agreed to the pool. And one day, I was out, and Mike was mowing the grass, and two city cops came by. And they pulled up and stopped right in front of our house. And the cop was just staring at the swimming pool, which was going in, but the fence was not up. Mm-hmm. So Mike turned off the lawnmower, ran over to the police car, and the cop said, sir, what you have here at this house is an attractive nuisance. He said, I know, she's out shopping right now.
Okay, I get it.
Some stuff you can't make up.
What about music? You're going to be doing some singing, obviously. It's cabaret. What songs are in your repertoire for this?
This show covers the gambit. Mm. I'm doing I Feel Good by James Brown.
Okay.
Rick has a gorgeous arrangement of Beautiful Boy by John Lennon. Mm-hmm. I love musical theater, and my audition song for the Muni from Annie Get Your Gun was They Say That Falling in Love is Wonderful. That's in there. I play two characters, and I'm doing a piece from Fiddler on the Roof, Do You Love Me? And then I'm obsessed with the Great American Songbook. So there are some gorgeous standards with Rick Jensen arrangements, like, let me think, am I doing A Foggy Day in London Town? No. Mm-hmm. Mean to Me? No. You've Changed. Love that song, You've Changed. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of a funny lead-in because I talk about 2 days after our honeymoon and then do You've Changed.
How do you weave all this together? I mean, stories and the music. Is it kind of a soliloquy with music?
It is. It's sort of a mini musical. You want it sort of to flow and all go together, and you want it to have a theme. So cabaret singers say that in-between stuff, the stories and the lead-ins, it's called patter. Mm-hmm. And so you write your patter almost as if you took all the songs out, you could do that as a storytelling piece. And you do the songs in an order where there's some variety or sense to it, that even if you removed the speaking, it could work. And then you merge it together into a show.
Mm-hmm. How is cabaret different from other forms of musical stage work, if you will?
Cabaret is really storytelling, and mostly it's more intimate. A lot of times you'll have a singer with a combo. The music might be background music, or you might even have a singer fronting a big band. I used to sing with the Fox Theater Orchestra, and you're really locked in to a chart. But in cabaret, it's very, very close up and personal with the audience. And when you start bringing in more instruments or production things, you lose the essence of what cabaret is. Mm. One of the most phenomenal people I ever saw do a cabaret set was Barbara Cook.
Oh.
Yeah.
She was big on Broadway for a number of years.
The original Marion the Librarian in...
I think she was in Carousel, too,
yes,
if I'm not mistaken.
A gorgeous voice and so present and so accessible. You want to have a certain friendliness or vulnerability, and you want to be able to be just you and let the words and the music sort of flow.
How did this all work with your teaching career? Was this something you were burning to do when you were teaching, or were you able to do some of it to satisfy that need or whatever it might be called?
You know, when I when I started teaching, to me, it was a lot like performing. You had to grab the class's attention. You had to keep them engaged, and it sort of filled that need. After some time, I think I was sort of sad and didn't even know it, that I wasn't doing some of this stuff anymore. But I was raising two sons, and I was working full-time in the St. Louis Public Schools, and I was in graduate school back and forth, and I didn't make room for something I'm passionate about. And really, it was my mistake. But in a way, I think that that's a piece I talk about in my show. I sort of blamed Mike, which was not fair. In fact, there's a quote that says, resentment is a bitter pill. You give it to someone else, but it makes you sick. So when I retired, I felt free and ready to start another part of my life.
Do you feel that there's a bloodline element here? I mean, your dad is so well known by so many people. There's probably never been anyone better on the circuit, the dinner circuit, the MC circuit, if you will, than Jack Buck.
My dad was a great speaker, and my dad had a great sense of humor, a quick wit.
Yeah.
What a lot of people don't know is he had a sort of cool Jack Jones voice. You might know, because back in the day, he was known at the piano bars in Gaslight Square. Uh-huh. And he was known to throw some parties, and he loved to hire live musicians. So much better than the dead ones. And then at the end of the evening, he would always sing, the party's over, and he would announce, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. So all this stuff with humor and with the singing. And, you know, my dad, when I was a little girl, he never sang me to sleep with Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. He sang Stardust.
Hoagy Carmichael.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
We all miss him so much. I mean, by golly, he was just such a talent. And I can see you're getting emotional almost as we speak these words.
My dad leaving this world was a big loss for so many, many people. But so many people tell me stories about him, and they're always new ones because he did so much to help so many people. And that keeps him with me in a way.
Yeah. Do you, I don't know exactly how to put this, but you're your own person, you're doing your own thing. Do you ever resent people bringing up your father because he was Jack Buck and taking it away from what you're doing?
Never. You know, when my dad was here, I never tried to go around and brag, oh, I'm Jack Buck's daughter and so forth. I thought that was sort of rude. Mm. But the minute he was gone, I was stopping everyone on the street saying, hey, that was my dad. Mm. And so people bringing him up to me, it's never a problem. It's always a joy.
You don't use his name, your maiden name, at all in your work. Why not?
Well, you know, maybe I should. That's a good idea. I guess I took a different path. My father actually tried to talk me into going into broadcast journalism. And I think I was the only one of all the eight that he tried to do that with. Mm-hmm. And yet others went there. Christine Buck, of course, Joe.
Julie Buck
is what, and his brother Bob. Mm-hmm. Yes. But I was like, oh no, I love Shakespeare. And oh no, I want to be in musicals. So I always was sort of my own person and maybe a little stubborn. And I majored in theater at Webster, which was a great program. But I always felt like my career was 100% my own. My father never got me a job in the St. Louis Public Schools. He may not have even wanted me to go there, but I sort of forged my own path. I was the oldest, and I was very independent.
How long does it take to get a show like this together? It's a one-night stand, if you don't mind my putting it that way.
If you locked me in a closet, I could maybe come out with a show in a week. But I think with all of the editing and communicating with Rick and working with Lena and Ken Haller, it's best to say that a good show should take anywhere from 6 months to a year. It really takes some time. You put songs in and you take them out and you get feedback on stories that work and ones that don't. And it takes a little time for it all to gel. This show took almost a year to put together.
Do you take it on the road? I mean, is this a kind of a tryout, the Boston tryout or whatever?
Well, Rick and I have done some shows in Chicago at Davenport's. We have a piece called A Night with Day, which is a tribute to my childhood idol, Doris Day. And this show, Love and Marriage, I think is universal in its theme. People have relationships and so on. And Rick is interested in bringing it to New York to Don't Tell Mamas, a little club in New York, right, which is kind of on my bucket list, and that would be fun. If 10 people come, I would be cool.
Well, is the little guy in the green room going to let you go, a little guy or gal? As you just pointed out that there's
a
youngster.
That's my grandson.
There.
Yeah, that's another job I have in retirement, and he's with me today.
Well, there's no such thing as retirement when you've got grandchildren. There's
You're
no
right
question
about that.
About that. Okay, once again, let's get the specifics on this. It's happening Friday night at the Kranzberg, correct?
Right, at 8 o'clock.
Uh-huh. All righty, well, it's something to look forward to. Beverly Brennan, so nice to talk to you again, and keep us posted on what the next venture is going to be for you and yours.
Okay, nice to talk to you, too. And if anybody wants tickets, they can look on Mariposa Artists. That's the website. And it's on MetroTix.
Okay, and we will put all of that information on our website at stlpublicradio.org.
Good talking with you, Don.
Same here. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, saluting Earth Day on April 22nd with an ongoing commitment to help offset carbon emissions with sustainable harvesting of Missouri forests. Details at choosewood.com.